Friday Sport.
Good evening. Fastermeyer. A week ago today, more than 1,300 people were readying themselves to tackle the 2019 Manx Telecom Parish Walk. Only 158 ended up completing the full 85 miles, and we hear from the winners this evening. And a week today, more than 2,000 athletes from 24 islands will be readying themselves for the 2019 NatWest Island Games in Gibraltar. We begin the build-up tonight. Fastermeyer, good evening. Welcome along to Friday Sport. And with both the men's and women's football teams having been away competing in Innismon recently for the Intergames football tournament, the women doing superbly and taking the gold medal, and despite a weather-affected TT, we still managed to get all the racing in, including the full six laps of the Blue Ribboned Senior event, and with the Parish Walk bringing out the best in the Isle of Man once again last weekend, and the Island Games right around the corner, there's been a wealth of sport to discuss since the football, rugby and hockey seasons culminated, and still plenty to come this weekend as well, and there's plenty to get our teeth into this evening as always. We start with a look back to last week, Parish Walk weekend, and what a weekend it was. More than 1,300 people began that 85-mile endurance race at the athletics track at the NSC in Douglas. The route takes participants through the island's 17 parishes before finishing back in Douglas, with those who go the distance crossing the line on the promenade. Under-21s, they can only go to Peel, and it was Owen Dudley who won the under-21 male category in a time of 6 hours, 42 minutes and 14 seconds, and Danielle Barton was the quickest female under-21 in just under 7 hours, so very well done to both of them. In the senior category, though, the plaudits went to Liam Parker, who claimed his second Parish Walk crown, adding to his previous win back in 2017. He crossed the line on Douglas Promenade, registering a time of 15 hours, 44 minutes and 6 seconds. Even more remarkable considering at one stage it looked like Richard Gerrard was running away with it. Possibly running away being the incorrect term to use there, but he did have a healthy lead at one stage. Emma Schilling had the honour of winning her maiden Parish Walk in the women's event in 17 hours, 47 minutes and 9 seconds. Rhea Evans has this report on how the event unfolded.
More than 1,000 people will be cradling their feet today after taking part in the Isle of Man's longest and most challenging community event of the year, the Parish Walk. Walking on a dream, hoping life's blind. ...1,378 competitors set off from the NSC racetrack yesterday morning to take on the 85-mile endurance race, each doing it for their own reason. Some raising money for charity, others doing it for fun, and some taking on the challenge of pushing your mind and body to the limit. 158 people finished the full 85 miles, 49 in the last hour of the race. Manx Radio had a look back over the 24-hour endurance race, starting with Ben Hartley seeing the walkers off.
85 miles, 17 parishes and 24 hours in which to do it. We're expecting the race leader, the winner, to cross over the line around about 11:30 tonight. And people will still be walking until 8 a.m. tomorrow. Some of those people on that start line now will be walking for another 24 hours. It's an incredible community event as it falls silent now. The music dies away and the anticipation builds. There are many people here watching, supporting the walkers across the start line as Sylvia takes the pistol. She holds it in the air. And we're almost ready for the start of the 2019 Manx Telecom Parish Walk. There we go.
Chris Cale was the first to make it to the braid, but soon after it became apparent that the battle of the event would be between two racers, Liam Parker and Richard Gerrard, as race director Ray Cox anticipated.
Yeah, I think really the pedigree of those two guys, and if they start to race each other, I can't see anybody else getting into the mix. But they're walking conservatively. You know, there's no crazy times. I reckon, you know, there won't be anything like a fastest to Peel, but then that doesn't count, does it? You know, it'll be interesting to see what develops after Peel.
The heat played a huge factor in this year's race, with walkers having the sun beating down on them all day. It caused upset for many, including Kevin Edwards, who cut his race short, finishing in Peel.
I mean, yeah, it's very, very hot, and I just couldn't keep anything down at all.
just not to be today.
Emma Schilling ended up being the first woman to finish the parish walk, coming seventh overall. However, she wasn't the first lady to make it to Peel.
Check in at Peel. Flying the flag for the females is Farquhar. Number 27, Jane Farquhar, the first female through. Let's see if we can get a quick word with her here. First female through. Jane, how are you holding up physically?
Yeah, I'm OK, yeah, not too bad. It's just a bit hard for me. I'm trying my best and trying to stay cool, but yeah.
In the end, it was Liam Parker who went on to become the Manx Telecom 2019 Parish Walk Champion. He was in second place for a large part of the race and took the lead when Richard Gerrard retired between Andreas and Sulby because of sickness. It's Liam's second win of the 85-mile event, having previously won it in 2017. He crossed the finish line just before midnight in a time of 15 hours and 44 minutes. Christy De Haven was one of many cheering him to the finish. She asked him if he was expecting to win.
Not a chance. Top 10 would have done me.
What were the most challenging parts this year?
Most of it. Yeah. So I was feeling rough from sort of Peel, really.
Because you did say you were feeling a bit queasy earlier, but you managed to push through where other people didn't.
Yeah, I just had to sort of try and manage my stomach and I don't know how, but I did.
Well, a massive round of applause for the Parish Walk winner for 2019. Give it up, ladies and gentlemen, for Liam Parker. Congratulations, that man.
Yes, thank you.
And all that's left to say is a huge congratulations to everyone who was involved in the event. I do hope your blisters aren't too bad.
And what an event it was. All 158 who walked the full 85 miles were honoured at an event at the Villa Marina in the week, and I caught up with the senior winners.
Probably the toughest it's been. It really was.
What made it so tough this year? Because obviously it was very, very hot throughout the day on the Saturday. Did that add to what was already a monumental task ahead of you?
Yeah, I'd say I started to feel quite unwell, actually, sort of Balaff, maybe Kurt Michael kind of area. And, you know, I'd start to think in my head that maybe, you know, my race was done for the day. It was sort of get where I could, if I could get to the end. You know, different things happen. You know, you go through so many ups and downs. And I just sort of, I wanted to finish basically this year. And that's, I'd have been happy with that. I'd been happy with top 10. I'd have been very happy with top 10. So to be here, yeah.
What was going through your mind about halfway stage when Richard Gerrard was leading out there and he had quite a healthy lead? Did you have to keep telling yourself to keep going because he might slow up? Or what was your thought process at that stage?
At halfway, it was a case of keep at him, keep going. You know, anything can happen. It's a hot day. You know, it's happened before. He got to a point where he just couldn't continue anymore. So it was a case of, you know, keep at him, keep on his tail. But by the time we sort of made it to Bride, in my head, I honestly had all but given up on trying to catch him. I that's no word of a lie. I'd given up. And it was one of your colleagues, Simon Clark, is it? It said to me, it's 14 minutes as I was walking away from Bride Church, and I'd gone, yeah, that's Richard, and he's gone. It's over.
But things changed. You are standing here as a Parish Walk winner for a second time. Take us through, if you will, your training process and your preparation for the Parish Walk, because you are a footballer, we know that. Do you do much walking, or is it very much on the day you produce a brilliant performance to take the win?
It was this night last year when I was messaging. I was sat at a table just over there, that one at the back, when I was asked a question by my girlfriend's dad, who was taking Foxdale, and he said, if I go to manage the team, would you come with me and play? And I said to him, you know what, yeah, I will, yeah. And at that point, I'd sort of written off this year and maybe next year just to, you know, I'll go back to football while I still can. And I'll enter the parish because I can't not enter it. I feel like I, you know, it's one of them. I'd feel wrong standing at the start line and not being part of it. So I only entered it, you know, to be part of the day because it is a fantastic event and it's great to be part of it.
It is a bit of an institution. Everybody on the Isle of Man will know all about the parish walk. Many of your friends, I'm sure, will have entered the parish walk before, but there are some who have not yet entered and have never done it and say they never will. What's your message to those people?
Give it a go. When I first entered it, I'd maybe had a few too many drinks and got convinced, the arm was twisted, entered it, made it to Peel as an under 21. And decided that the following year I'd give it a little bit more thought, a little bit more attention, a little bit more time, and I ended up winning the under 21s that year, and it's literally snowballed from there, and it's got far further than I ever could have imagined it to have gotten.
Will you be back again in 2020, and do you have ambitions to win the parish walk once again?
Of course I want to win it again. Who doesn't want to be standing here with this trophy in their hand and the names on there to be amongst them? So I think I'll enter it again because, well, the number one is earned, not given, and that's my view on it. So even if I enter it to walk around the NSC, I'll be entering. I'll probably give it the same sort of attention as I did this year. I'll get the footy season out of the way, hopefully a little bit sooner than this year just gone, and then you never know. But I know that Richard will be back stronger and a million times more determined than ever.
Well, there you go. Use that as an incentive. Liam Parker, you are the 2019 Manx Telecom Parish Walk winner. Congratulations.
Emma Schilling. And
you are the 2019 Manx Telecom Parish Walk ladies winner. How great does it sound when you hear people say that?
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yeah.
Take us through your own personal journey. 85 miles, it is a grueling task. We know that. Did you always have ambitions to finish it, let alone win it?
First time I did it, I finished. So from then, I got quicker every so often, every few years that I trained. And then this year, I was going into it as one of the fastest. So I kind of had it in the back of my mind. I could potentially win the ladies. So it was in the back, but putting it in the back of your mind and getting it to the finish, luckily it all paid off.
At what stage did it filter through to you that you were the ladies' leader?
It was a tough battle. I was fourth up until Balaf, and then Jane dropped out at Kirkmichael, I heard, and then there was Bernie, and then there was Steph, and then there was me, and then I gradually started pulling people back. And then I think I overtook Bernie and she was 4 or 5 minutes behind me. But then my dad said, she's getting stronger, you need to move. So it was at 50 miles that I kind of thought, right, if I want this, I've got to go for it. But then suddenly you've got 35 miles of pushing.
How tough is that when you do realise you're in contention to win it? So there's even more at stake, more riding on it, and you get told that the people behind you are catching up. It takes an incredible amount of mental strength as well as the physical ability to walk the 85 miles if you are to become a champion.
Absolutely. It's all, it gets, they say that the first third is with your head. I think the second third is with your heart. And then, you know, the last is with your mind. You've got to just, you have to just, if you want it, you have to go for it. And you have to forget you've got feet, which is what I did completely. Hence the reason I'm walking in slippers, because otherwise, if you let your mind get in the way, you just won't do it.
Well, a lot of people are in slippers and flip-flops tonight.
Yeah.
A lot of people you see on crutches and hobbling about. But would you say to the rest of the Isle of Man, the rest of the world, that it is a very worthwhile event to take part in?
Absolutely. It's an amazing event. It's amazingly well supported. And the buzz that you get from whether you finish at Russian, Peel, or whether you make it the whole 85 is absolutely amazing. So absolutely, I would recommend it to anyone.
It's your first time winning the ladies race overall. Do you have plans to take part again next year and repeat the achievement?
No. No, I'm actually finishing now. I'm going to concentrate on my running because I am actually naturally a runner. So I want to get back into running, and I kind of think I've achieved, what else can I achieve? I've got First Lady, I've got my highest position. I've also got a time of 17 hours 16 3 years ago. So I'm kind of, it's a great time to bow out and let somebody else take the mantle.
It's brilliant to finish on a high. I have to push you though. Do you think you'll stick to that, or do you think it'll come round to when entries open again for the 2020 event and you might be a bit tempted?
I don't think so, to be honest. I want to focus on my running.
Well, congratulations and enjoy the success.
Thank you.
Massive congratulations to everyone who's involved in the event and achieved their personal targets, wherever that may have been to. And of course, once again, a huge well done to those who walked the entire distance. The fact under 160 people out of more than 1,300 who started, completed the parish walk, proves just how difficult it is. And also worth noting that the fantastic work that the army of volunteers and the organisers and the marshals all put in to make sure that it is a successful event. Well, next up this evening, we're throwing forward to the 2019 NatWest Island Games. Not long left to wait now. Around 2,000 athletes from 24 islands are taking part in the biennial event, which takes place this year in Gibraltar. And before you say it, I know Gibraltar isn't technically an island. There are 14 different sports being contested at the event this year. Interestingly, the 2019 event will see no cycling, no volleyball, no archery, and no football. That's the reason we had that recent Intergames tournament in Innismon, because there aren't enough football pitches in Gibraltar. It means those sports have been replaced instead by the likes of tenpin bowling, judo and squash, which the Isle of Man is entering teams into the Games for just the fourth time in the history of the event in squash. Well, earlier this week, I met up with the president of the Isle of Man Squash Racket Association, Les Callow. I asked him just how excited he was about having both a men's and women's team heading to Gibraltar to represent the island on one of the biggest stages.
Chris, I always look forward to going away with the Isle of Man squash team, and yes, even more so for the Island Games, because I think in the times I've been involved in squash, which is probably getting on for 40 years, I think we've had squash in four times, and this is the fourth time.
How special is it as well, because squash isn't always involved in these big events?
As I say, it is very special. It's our Olympics, you know, and it's something for the juniors who come into squash to aspire to be able to represent the Isle of Man on a worldwide basis like the Island Games are. You know, I mean, there's a lot of countries take part in the Island Games, so it's an incentive for people to train, to do well, and to get into the squad.
You're firmly involved with all levels of squash, from the juniors right up to the seniors. Is this something that they are desperate to be a part of, and they're keen to showcase that they have the ability to be able to perform in these international tournaments?
Yes, I think what typifies this, one of our best up-and-coming juniors, Ollie Waite, actually emailed me a couple of weeks ago and said, Les, I need to start training with the senior squad because it's an ambition of mine to be able to represent the Isle of Man. So, yeah, to take part in the two major events we take part in, which is the Island Games ad hoc basis and the European teams regularly every year, it's something for the kids to aspire to.
Important as well that this year it's a men's and a women's team going across as well, showing that it isn't just a male-dominated sport, which perhaps in the past it could have been accused of that.
Yes, I think ladies seem to take second stage to the men in squash terms, but I think that is changing. Even on the world scene, the ladies are improving and the prize money is getting better, and on an Isle of Man basis, I think it's probably about 11, 12 years since we had enough ladies to actually put together an island squad.
In terms of the preparation, how long has this been in the running, and has it stepped up in recent weeks and recent months?
I started training the ladies twice a week 9 months ago. And yes, we've stepped it up. We've done fitness training. We're coaching twice a week. The girls have been told that they need to be on court playing games in the week as well. So, yeah, over the last month or so, we've actually raised the profile, and hopefully the training should pay off when we get to Gibraltar.
You've been all over the place watching squash in the past. How intense and how tough will it be for these Manx players going across to Gibraltar, competing against all these other different islands? How good will they have to be? The standard must be tip-top.
Yeah, the standard is tip-top. I think one of the favourites, especially in the men's individual, is a young lad from Bermuda who is in the top 100 world ranked. So, you know, just because it's a small island competition, that doesn't mean to say that players are not world-ranked players. And our own David Norman, even though he hasn't got a world ranking or is not in the top 100 world ranks, David has played and beaten some of the best players in the world.
When it comes to your part, though, and the training side of things, how much can you do to instill the strategy, I suppose, you as a coach want to instill in these players? Because when it gets to a match in the Island Games, in terms of shot selection, there's little you can do.
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't be on court with the person I'm coaching or the team that I'm managing. But hopefully, over a period of 9 months, they've had them shots drilled into them on a repetitive basis. So it should become second nature when they get on court against an opponent.
We've spoken at length of this in the past, but for squash as a sport on the Isle of Man to be involved in this event, and you've said it's only the fourth time, I think, that you've been involved in an Island Games squad going across to compete in these tournaments. To bring new players through and to inspire generation, we've heard Ollie Waite, one of the hot prospects in squash. It's essential that these sports are involved in events like this.
Yes, definitely. But more importantly, Chris, I think to get the juniors involved in the sport, the seniors have to take some responsibility on that. And hopefully, when we get back from the Island Games, I am going to ask the senior players who actually went away to give a little bit of time back to bring on the next squad, which will be the new juniors.
Do you see that in them already? Is it a case of you having to push them, or do you think that they are realising that they do have a responsibility and a role to play?
I think they still need a lot of pushing, but say the top end of our squad is getting older. The younger players are coming in the bottom end. They will then be the senior players, so we need to feed in at the bottom end the juniors.
Let's talk about aspirations, because it's all well and good going away to these events. I know you, as a person, very, very competitive, which is what you need to be. What are our ambitions? What are you hoping to achieve at the Island Games in 2019?
What I'm hoping to achieve is that the players give their all and play at the best of their ability. Medals would be a bonus. I just hope that every player does what they can do and, I say, hopefully turn that into medals.
I'm sure they'll all be all the more richer for taking part in this event in terms of their experience. How much do you know about the facilities in Gibraltar?
I know quite a bit about the facility in Gibraltar because Barry Brindle, the president of Gibraltar Squash, who is also organising the squash event, I speak to on a regular basis. In fact, he phoned me the other day. We're getting 6 brand new courts, absolutely brand new, never been played on. I think Barry said the first time they will be in use is actually tonight. They're going to get the Gibraltar squad down there to shake down the courts. Apparently, absolutely beautiful courts, 6 singles courts. The 2 middle ones convert into 2 doubles courts. So, yeah, really looking forward to looking at the Gibraltar setup.
What about the conditions when we're out there? It's very, very hot on the Isle of Man today. We're expecting it to be considerably hotter than we're used to in Gibraltar. So how do the players go about acclimatising and adjusting to the conditions that they'll be playing in?
Quite difficult, especially on the Isle of Man, because I believe the temperature is going to be mid-30s when we get there. And I did speak to Barry the other day and said, are the courts air-conditioned? And no, they're not. So it is going to be quite warm on court. What we have been doing in the build-up is playing with a single-dot ball, which bounces, hopefully replicating warm courts when we get to Gibraltar.
Just finally, when we're out there, what would you say to anybody from the Isle of Man who's going across to Gibraltar for the Island Games to
perhaps taking a bit of squash even if they hadn't considered it beforehand?
Yeah, squash is probably a selective sport, and a lot of people don't realise just how competitive squash is and how strenuous it is. So all I would say is, if you want to see a game where two or four, because there are doubles involved as well, four players actually work hard to win a match, then I'd say pop along to squash.
Les Callow, the president of the Isle of Man Squash Racket Association there, talking ahead of just the fourth squad travelling to take part in an Island Games. And I'll be bringing you all the news from the 2019 NatWest Island Games in a daily podcast, which you'll be able to access on the Manx Radio website and, of course, on our social media pages as well. The opening ceremony takes place a week tomorrow, and there are 24 islands taking part in the Games this year: Jersey, Guernsey, Shetland Islands, Bermuda, Cayman Islands and Rhodes among them. It is always quite a spectacular event, and he's hoping for plenty of medals coming back home right here to the Isle of Man. Well, that's it for Friday Sport this evening. Tomorrow, cycling will be in the spotlight with considerable Manx presence involved in the British Championships. But that's it for this evening. The news at 6 o'clock is next.